Hello there. Hope everybody is doing well and having a nice Monday evening and start of March. Hopefully, this is a turning point. Winter is ending. People are starting to get the vaccine in greater numbers. Hopefully, there's a light at the end of the tunnel. At least that's how I'm feeling, not to jinx anything. Probably shouldn't have even said that. But anyways, moving on. Today I have a bunch of things I want to talk about. I'm a little bit tired. Again, I know I say that all the time. It is a hazard of my illness. I didn't sleep that much last night, and I've been like being social all day, and I went to doctor's appointment today in Cambridge. So was driving and out and about too. I'm not sure how coherently I will be able to express all my thoughts, but I do have a good number of things to express. So first of all, an update on what's been going on. I think I posted on Friday night. The summary, just like a summary of my week last week. So as I said then, as a result of working on my like decluttering spring cleaning project on Tuesday and Wednesday and then waking up early on Thursday, I was basically in what's called a crash for Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, which is basically when you're like, it's a response to exerting yourself. It's a common thing to happen with this illness. It's basically like mentally or physically, you feel extra bad and out of it because you pushed yourself too hard, and it lasts for these like several days. So, Thursday and Friday, I was already not feeling well, but I kind of pushed through. And then Saturday and Sunday, I was just like almost totally out of it and just was like resting in bed and like napping and stuff. But by Sunday night, yesterday evening, I was feeling a good deal better. And then today, woke up really early, was feeling pretty good and productive, but I've just been so on for the day that by now I'm definitely fading. Should probably go to sleep, but I wanted to record a podcast. Just to update you all. I'm sure you guys, everybody is desperately awaiting my updates. Just wanted to say thank you to everybody who's been listening. A lot of people that I, wouldn't necessarily expect to listen have been listening. It's just really nice when people reach out with thoughts. And we're getting good numbers of people who are listening from the click. From the, sorry, I forget what it's called. Whatever, like the people I have a Anchor provides me with just information, aggregate information about how many plays I've had. So the number of plays. I mean, it's not like real podcast number of plays, but I think it seems from talking to people that there's enough people listening and getting something from what I'm doing that I'd like to keep going for now and continuing to share. And it feels really good to be able to resonate with some people in that way. So yeah, that's that. Thank you to everybody who is listening. So those were kind of that was just kind of like a summary of the last few days. Oh, and I wanted to say today. So today, I went to this geneticist appointment, because there's this theory, I think I might have mentioned, that ME/CFS is caused by connective tissue issues or a connective tissue disorder, which is basically like your ligaments. So the idea is because of the connective tissue disorder, the ligaments that hold up your skull, aren't functioning properly, so your skull pushes down on your brainstem, And as a result of your brainstem being basically squished, you a lot of these fatigue and other symptoms basically come out from that. So anyway, so I talked to him. He had, let's just say, an interesting bedside manner. Just gonna put it that way, somewhat diplomatically. But he was also really thorough, so that's good. We'll be hopefully getting some blood work and results there. Yeah, I don't know. I'm trying to think if that feels a little too personal to share, because it's just like so detailed about my health. But let's go with it. So yeah, so that was today, and then I ended up doing a Zoom with a friend, and then the rest of the day I've been like reading all this like texting and chatting with people and reading like all these posts in the Reclamation Facebook group and doing some of my own like reflecting and posting there. So it's been a day of a lot of connection, and it's yeah, it's been fun. Although there's a lot of things that I want to get done that I haven't like made any progress on. And I will just read some of those things for my own sake, even though they are not interesting at all. So yeah, so like I have to do my taxes, I have to figure out Medicare coverage. I'll be starting Medicare in May. Currently I'm on COBRA, whatever. There's more details there. Need to talk to Blue Cross Blue Shield, my current insurer, about like 10,000 different issues. Need to finish the spring cleaning. I need to send a CD of my brain and C-spine MRIs to a doctor for him to review. I need to schedule some follow-ups with some doctors. I need to fill out some questionnaires relating to medical stuff. Some other phone calls around logistics. So, basically that should give you a sense of like the kind of random stuff that I'm doing. It's the kind of things everyone has, except mine has the addition of lots of medical paperwork and calls and organization work, which I think, as I said, can sometimes feel like a full-time job. But let's be real, not really like a full-time job. And then I have, so as we're starting with March, as it is the start of March, I also have like the various projects that I'm working on that I kind of summarize for myself for the month, which is basically like continuing the reclamation program, continuing therapy, continuing with the podcast, and then, and then basically, so then two other things. So one is this program I was telling you guys about, this chronic illness coping program, which I feel bad. I haven't made any progress on like the homework we had for that program. I don't really, it's like I said, I'm kind of skeptical about it. I really don't like meditating. That's one of the big components. But I do want to make an effort to like do some of the stuff at least that they suggested. As I said, it's an 8-week program. It meets every Wednesday night for 2 hours, and then they give you homework and logs to fill out and stuff. So that's that. And then the other thing is I'm like very, very slowly dipping my toes into potentially starting a writing project. As I also mentioned, like I said, I've never like I'm really externally motivated, and I've never been able to write anything or do anything like creative. And I don't just mean creative, I mean like analytical writing also. I haven't been able to create anything or write anything that wasn't like, oh, you have this deadline for work, or you have to do it for an essay for school. It just like doesn't work for me. But nevertheless, I'm gonna try like a teeny tiny bit to start working on this writing project. And I kind of had an idea of tracing the. It's kind of based on my thesis. My thesis that I wrote in college senior year was about Irving Kristol, who was this member of this New York intellectual group that, or group of New York intellectuals that started out, he started out as a socialist and then he became a neoconservative and one of the founders of the neoconservative movement. So he moved like from the far left to the whatever, far the right, basically. And I analyzed his writings from a certain basically middle time period to show his evolution and basically made the argument that his thought was more consistent over time than other writers had thought. So I basically like pulled out like the threads and the themes in his work that I felt or that as I analyzed were basically consistent over time, and maybe it was more like the political realignment changed. So I was thinking of doing, and I briefly mentioned this last time, but just to go into more detail. So I was thinking of doing something similar to that, but with some of the things happening right now and some of the political realignments happening right now. And just like tracing the ideas of certain thinkers as they've evolved, or just like the discourse, quote unquote, more broadly, among like public intellectuals around, basically people, yeah, people moving from one side of the spectrum to the other, some of the issues coming up around like free speech and how different groups interpret what that means and how it relates to racial justice issues, for example. So yeah, I don't know. Maybe, and again, it wouldn't really be ideological. It would just be trying to like trace some of these ideas over time and see how they've migrated from left to right with different within different intellectual traditions within the left or within the right. Anyway, so that's my thought. I posted about it on Facebook to kind of get people's thoughts and suggestions. And some people had really good ideas. I also, as soon as I posted, I was like, oh, this is overwhelming. I don't know if I want to do this. Because I also like, I get overwhelmed like trying to talk like modern day politics. And I've definitely avoided talking about it on this podcast like 100%. So I just feel like, I don't know, I just, there's just so many different perspectives and it's so intense. And I don't know. So like, I don't know that I don't want to dive into it in that, in like an ideological way or like from a certain political point of view, really. So I don't know if I'd be able to kind of write something in a way that wasn't really, that was really just, obviously can't be neutral because everyone has a perspective, but that was trying to just trace ideas from a historical perspective as opposed to like opining on like which way of thinking is the right way of thinking. I don't know. So that's one idea. I don't know if it's going to go anywhere or if I want it to go anywhere or if I should do something more like personal, like some kind of personal memoir style writing, as I mentioned. I don't know. Or like, yeah, again, if I can even really do any like do some like make a, some real progress, because you really have to dig deep to write something. And in addition to the fact that I'm like very hard, it's very hard for me to motivate myself to do that, there's also obviously the fact of my illness. And every time I've tried to do some kind of intellectual project like learning Spanish or like reading like various books or whatever, almost every time I get burnt out physically, like I mean cognitively, but it's not that I get bored, it's just that I can't do it anymore. So I am yeah, so I don't know. I don't know if it's worth it. Especially with everything else I have going on this month, because it maybe it doesn't sound like that much, but like if I really want to commit to this chronic illness coping program. Like, I haven't done anything for it because I've just been doing other things. You know, I actually feel like between all my errands that I need to do, how much rest I need, and my doctor's appointments, and like social things that I'm doing, I just don't know if I have like realistically time to work on the writing project right now, or if I really even need it in my life. I don't know. Anyways, I'm sure you guys will hear more about it as I continue to work through that. Let's see what else was on my agenda here. So, speaking of social obligations and Zooms, one thing I want to say, I was like reflecting back on February. It's healthy for me to like try to like reflect every month or like make a new schedule or plan every month because that just like enhances all my ways of being. Oh, excuse me. I have the hiccups. That just like reinforces all the ways that I'm like trying to be really rigid and impose order on things. And it's just like not, it's just like better for me to just be fluid and not be like, okay, it's the first of the month. I need to like organize all my thoughts and like prepare like a whole game plan for the month, which I kind of did yesterday. But yeah, it just doesn't feel very like, I don't know, just like not what I need to be doing. But anyways, now that I have done that, just some takeaways. I really feel that over the last several weeks, I know I was talking about connection and especially like in the first several episodes of the podcast, but really probably throughout about how much I want to connect more to people and how I'm craving that connection and don't feel like I have enough connection in my life. I really feel like over the past month, I've gotten so much of that connection that I've been craving, like so much between like the reclamation women who I check in with, pretty much every day we all check in with one another, in my small group of 10 women, and then my two very close chronic illness friends that I've mentioned, and then some other good friends that I've started chatting with more. And then the podcast, which I feel like has brought a lot of people kind of reacting and commenting and talking to me about it, and just brought me more, opened up conversations with people that I don't usually talk to, like Paul or like my cousin Olga, and some other guests that are coming up, I promise, on the podcast. So yeah, it's just, and I've just talked to a lot of people and felt really connected this month. So I'm really happy about that. And I feel like I'm making, I don't know, it just feels good. So this month, I feel like I want to keep doing that, but I also want to focus on just like getting some of these more practical things done. And yeah, maybe just get being a little bit more balanced. But I feel like that connection piece has definitely contributed to a lot more joy in my life. And yeah, that's really been awesome. So I'm really happy about that. What else is I gonna say? Sorry. Oh man, sorry. Sorry for the pause. I have several other topics I want to discuss. Okay, so one is, so Friday night I recorded a podcast episode that I didn't post, about like what it means to be a good person and like struggling with my own questions about whether I'm a good person. Whether I like some ways that I acted in the past that I feel like were pretty selfish. But it felt a little bit too, like at the end of the day, I feel like it's more simple than I was making it out to be. And like, first of all, everybody's different. Some people are really compassionate, but they're not really like morally principled, or some people are really righteous and have a lot of integrity, but they're not as kind, or I don't know. There's just so many different ways of being a human being, and there's so much good and bad in everyone that it just seems simplistic to try to carve out some real sense of like what it means to be a good person. And also, I just feel like it's kind of like not like being like, am I a good person? Like, I'm not sure that's really a question you need to be asking. You just kind of try to do your best to like take care of yourself and your own needs and be as good to other people as you can be. And just be like honorable. So I think like there were a couple of threads there that I think were kind of interesting. One is this idea that you don't have to, like, people process things differently. And some people are just kind of like by nature. They're just good natured. They just have like this, kind, loving feeling towards their fellow man, and they're just naturally kind of like public spirited. And I am not one of those people, I don't think. I think I can be selfish and very judgmental and like get annoyed or even misanthropic sometimes. I just don't think I'm like, I just don't think I have that kind of like natural good-natured part of me. But I do think that, and that's what I think is about, like people were, you guys know if you're longtime listeners, the true fans, you know that I did the Enneagram test, and for a lot of the questions that were like, oh, do you care, like how much is like taking care of other people important to you, and like how much is other people's happiness important to you? And my answers for all those questions were like, not really. And I think that just what I, and not to toot my own horn, but a lot of friends reached out and were like, that is completely not true. You're like very caring and supportive and blah, blah, blah. So that was gratifying. But I think that it more speaks to the fact that I'm just not inherently good-natured. And I've worked to become caring towards others. It's more something I've developed in myself. Obviously, like, I care in the sense that it's not like I was born like a psychopath or something. Like, I care, like, if I see somebody who's upset, it makes me upset. If I see something bad happen to someone, I feel bad and sad for them, and even to like a high degree when it comes to certain kinds of almost trivial things, like I'll cry in movies when bad or sad things happen. Or like I've had a few instances where like I disproportionately, when I was a kid, where I disproportionately get upset about something that is like relatively trivial. Like, for example, in high school, there was this, so we had like a Jewish student union, and it, like, there weren't that many people, I think, in that organization, or maybe there were, I don't know. But the president of the club, who was like, I think, a year above me, he was hosting, like for the holiday of Sukkot, he built a sukkah in his backyard. I don't know if expressly for this purpose or if they were building one anyway, but he basically sent out an email and said like, oh, if anyone, I'll be like in my sukkah and like hosting like some, Sukkot gathering for anybody who wants to come. And then he sent out an email like, I don't know, a couple hours later in the day, whatever, and he was like, oh, like nobody came. And for some reason, this just like broke my heart. And I just was like crying and crying that nobody came to this guy's Sukkot, or whatever, sukkah. no, Sukkot, like Sukkot celebration. So, so I was just like crying and crying, and like this guy was not, it's not like he was like uncool or socially awkward and people were rejecting him. He was actually a very popular, smooth, well-liked guy. It's just that nobody, like the Jewish Student Union was not very active, and nobody maybe had like nobody just nobody felt like going, but it wasn't like a reflection on him or like I'm sure he was absolutely fine. Actually, he also went to we went to college and law school together, different years. I think he went to law school. Now I'm second guessing myself whether he went to law school with me. Well, anyways, he's perfectly fine, but for some reason I found that really sad. But then in other instances, I have like it just I don't sometimes I just don't feel emotional when sad things happen, and I feel like I'm supposed to, and I don't, and I think that's really normal, because people process things differently, and I guess what I've learned is you're not like good or bad based on your emotional response. You kind of can't control that, but if you try to be a good person, that's really what matters, and less like, oh, do you know, are you born with this like good naturedness? One other thing that I'll say, I guess I have a lot to say about this actually. I have a lot of other topics too, so we'll see how far we get, because I'm going, but I'm also fading as I speak, and I want to get through all this stuff, but I'm not sure if I'm going to, so maybe there will need to be a part two to this episode. But another distinction that I think is relevant is for me is always between like how I acted with like friends and acquaintances and basically the outside world, and how I acted with my family. And then I think the only other people who ever saw this side of me were like significant others, pretty much. So basically, like, so Paul, who I talked to on Friday, and who you guys heard the podcast with, like he saw this other side of me. And so I think like whenever I interacted with the outside world, even like from a young age, I was always really nice and caring and like supportive, and that's just my nature to be to in a social way, to be like very empathetic and nice and stuff. Which isn't the same as like, I don't know. So I would be like that with other people, but I feel that I think with my family and again, like with significant others, other parts of my personality would come up, and that's where I would be like really selfish, and just not, I don't know, just like ungrateful for things. I don't know. Just like not the same way, I guess. And I always felt that like my empathetic side was like somehow maybe not genuine. But now the more that I think about it, the more I feel like it is genuine and I'm not giving myself enough credit. And because like yeah, I think I've always second-guessed myself because my emotions aren't readily available. So like when I should be feeling sad or bad or something, like a lot of times I don't feel that. But I don't think it means that I don't care. And the other trajectory that I found like very interesting is I don't know if you guys have seen Mad Men, but there's this character Pete. And he, in my opinion, goes through like the most interesting transformation during the series. A lot of the other characters I found like pretty static, including Don Draper, which was fine. I mean, I think it was still a good show, although a little slow and short on plot at times. But But I think his, like Don Draper's character, was really well done, but he just didn't have the same arc that Pete had. And Pete starts out as like this total asshole, like this entitled jerk. He sleeps with a secretary who later, who is like also becomes this main character, and then completely ignores her. He's just like basically acts like a petulant child. And then we see as the series goes on, this person who also is not naturally good-natured learns slowly how important it is to be kind to other people and be thoughtful of them and think long term about how you behave, and just like recognize people's, I don't know, recognize basically that other people are people and have needs and care about them and empathize with them. And it was really amazing to me watching the growth of this character and how he basically matured from like a arrogant and selfish young man to somebody who was really decent. I don't know if he was really decent at the end. That's probably up for interpretation. But there's no question that he really matured. And I think that that kind of gave me hope, because when I felt that when I felt that, oh, like I was so selfish or I was so ungrateful to my parents growing up, and in some ways, and I just didn't think of anyone other than myself, and I never went out of my way to actually do things for people, because that's another distinction. I think I've always been like really empathetic and nice, but I haven't done a lot to go out of my way and help other people. Sorry, this is another tangent, but I feel like that's, and I feel like, and I don't know if I've said this on another episode, but I feel like that's something that is very, like in our day and age, it's hard. People don't help each other as much in our particular like milieu, like people who are, you know, relatively well off in the United States, for example. Everyone is leading very independent lives, and there's just it's not as common for people to help each other because it's not as needed. You don't need one another to survive. Like, whereas like at some point, like if people were, you know, had less money or just in cultural norms were different, you would help your friends move. Now everyone is just gonna hire a moving truck. I mean, not everyone, but people I know and interact with, that's just what they do. You don't ask somebody to help you move. You don't, it seems, at least, again, this could just be like happen to be like the norms of people that I know, but everyone can do everything themselves pretty much and take care of themselves. So people don't really ask for help, and people don't really give help in a lot of ways. Obviously, there's some situations where people definitely do ask for and give help, but I think it's like goes against kind of what's human for us, because we're in the, you know, in when we were, again, I think I've said this, but when we were living in like hunter-gatherer society, which is where most of our human history is, so that's what we're most adapted for. People were living in these tight-knit communities and they relied on one another for everything. So I think like part of that not helping people concretely, like that's missing from a lot of our lives, and I think that would make a lot of people more happy. I don't know, just we all know, like it just feels really good to help people. And it's really good for deepening your connections with people and building relationships with people. And we just don't get to do that a lot. But anyway, so yeah, that's one thing that I always felt kind of like inadequate from like a good person, quote unquote, perspective, is that I didn't really go out of my way to help people. And I don't know. That's still something where it's just a very, very difficult balance, because it's so hard for me, at least, and I don't know if other people feel like this too, but to make sure I'm making healthy choices for myself. Like, am I overexerting myself? Like, am I eating right? Am I getting enough sleep? Am I just generally like making good choices for myself about like what to do with my time, like all of that takes up so much brain space, like quote unquote putting the mask on yourself, that it's hard to find like the mental and emotional bandwidth to help another person, again, concretely, as opposed to just being empathetic. And then a lot of times for me, if I'm like, oh, I should like help people more, then I end up like screwing up my own stuff and not even helping the other person. So for example, like let's say like someone wants to like go on a trip somewhere and I don't really want to go, but I'm like, oh, they really want to go. I should, to be like a nice person, I should just go. And then I go and I get really exhausted and it's like nobody needed you to do that. Like they just wanted you to go, like if it would be fun for you. Like so I end up kind of making like stupid, like I don't do things that actually help other people, but then they harm myself. So it's just hard to find ways for me personally to help another person where I'm still taking care of myself and I'm doing something that's genuinely helpful without like creating unnecessary problems for myself or like throwing myself off balance. It's part of the rigid way that I am, I think, and that's something that I'm working on also. Anyways, that whole stuff about concretely helping other people and our tribal past, that is all a detour from what I was saying about this Mad Men character who starts out really as a jerk and then becomes better with time. And that's this idea that we can change, we can mature, we can consciously make the decision to be better to other people. And it doesn't require this innate good-naturedness kind of quality, this innate goodness. I mean, obviously, you have to have some of that to even want to be good, want to help other people, want to be a good person. But you don't have to like just naturally just treat everyone wonderfully. You can make a conscious choice to become like that. And that's probably the part of the process of maturing for many people, so it's not unique to me or anything, but I remember feeling like watching that character on Mad Men really inspired, because he changed. Like he was able to recognize how destructive his behavior was for other people and for himself, and he learned empathy and he learned how to treat people better. And I don't know, I just found that like really moving and inspiring. And I think that's the character in Mad Men that I don't want to say resonated because I don't think I was like a jerk the way he was, but it just, I think he really spoke to me. And that evolution of that character really spoke to me because I do feel that as they grew up, and kind of realized like how much like took more awareness of other people's feelings, especially people who are very close to me and the ones that I was least kind of whose feelings I was least taking into account, like my parents or my grandparents. I became a much more caring, genuinely caring and thoughtful person. And I do think that that change is possible. And I just feel like I'm better now in that way. And maybe that's just part of growing up, but I make much more of an effort to, think of other people. Anyways, and actually talking through all that on the episode I didn't air, I kind of summarized it more concisely this time around. But just talking through that kind of made me actually feel better because I do think that I kind of have some kind of like underlying like worry that I'm not like really caring or like what's really wrong with me. Again, I think because sometimes I don't feel what I think I'm like supposed to feel. But I do think that I try to be good to people. And the only place where I would say I would like to do more, I mean, the only place, it's pretty big, but I don't think I concretely like help people a lot. And I don't really necessarily mean like volunteering or something, because for whatever reason, whenever I've done that, it's felt pretty hollow to me. I don't know if I just haven't done the right kind of work, but I mean more like family and friends and people, just people that I somehow get to know or care about. Like, I wish I had the chance to do more to like really substantively help them. I think I would feel a lot better about myself. And I don't feel bad about myself, but I just feel like this is missing. I wish I could do more to kind of go out of my way to help them. But I also wish I had the capacity to do that, because like I said, it feels so difficult to do that without kind of screwing up like the delicate balance I found of like taking care of my own needs, which obviously is also very important. And you have to put the mask on yourself first, in order to be good and take care of people around you. So I don't know. I just struggle with that. On the one hand, I would really like to do more. And on the other hand, when I try to do more, I kind of screw up my own mask like unnecessarily. So I don't know. I would welcome people's thoughts on that and whether you guys have similar like difficulties helping others while also taking care of yourself, and whether you've had good opportunities to help other people, or know good ways to help other people that you would recommend. Yeah, so that's that. Trying to think if I have anything else on the topic of helping people and being a good person. Yeah, just that, like, there's just so many shades of gray and so many different kinds of people. And yeah, I mean, the question of who's good or who's not good is like not a really helpful way of looking at it. But yeah, I don't know. Those are just some reflections on that. On that question. Just reading through like a couple of notes I wrote out here. A couple of random things. Okay, so I don't remember if I shared this in one of my earlier episodes, but I just wanted to tell you guys a story about myself when I was in first grade that really like exemplifies who I am and like why I'm doing this podcast. Not why, but it just shows that my personality has been very consistent over the years. So when I was in first grade for show and tell, I brought in my diary. Okay, I think I might have told this. I don't remember. Well, you guys are going to hear it again if I already told it. I brought in my diary to show and tell. And I read my diary at show and tell in first grade. And the passage of my diary that I read was about how at my birthday party that weekend or whatever, I was so excited it was my birthday that I forgot to put on underwear underneath my dress. Okay, so I not only did I, it's just every part of that story is so me. First of all, that I was so excited it was my birthday. Love like celebrating myself. Or just like parties and attention and whatever. I was so excited it was my birthday. One. Two, forgot to put on underwear. Okay, that specific thing doesn't happen regularly, but like I just feel like that's a Dina-esque thing to do. Wrote all about it in my journal or diary or whatever, and then decided it would be a good idea. And I was just not even just that it would be a good idea, but I was just dying to share with the class that I had done this. And I just like couldn't wait to tell everyone, because I just thought it was like so interesting and would amuse us all. Anyways, so that should give you a hint of what I'm like, why I overshare, and why I'm comfortable doing this podcast, sharing like every detail of my life. Yeah. So Wanted to share that story. And then I also wanted to say, let's see here. Okay, there's a couple of other things, but since we're already at the 45-minute mark, I wanted to move to what might be the last topic. Let's see. Oh, okay. So in this reclamation program, so I think I told you guys every month is devoted to like its own area where you can like develop yourself and like connect better to yourself and like throw off like societal expectations. So like the first month was like authenticity, and it was all about how do you connect with your authentic self and like be authentic in your interactions with other people, etc. And then this month, so then there's months on like creativity, courage, purpose, power, abundance, pleasure. So whatever, there's a lot of different rituals. Don't know what that one will be like. But anyway, so there's a lot of different themes and topics. So this month is expectations month, and I guess I haven't like there's like various content to listen to and materials to read and stuff, which I haven't read yet, so I don't know exactly, like I might not be fully getting like the idea right or wrong, right? I might not be fully be getting the idea right. But basically it's like, don't, you know, what are expectations that you're putting on yourself, or that others around you are putting on you, or that society is putting on you, that aren't actually aligned with what you want to be doing? Like you don't even think about them because they're so ingrained, but you don't want to follow them. And when I first read this topic, I was like, oh, I don't have anything like that. You know, I just like do what I want to do, and like no one pressures me to be anything, and like I don't have anything to say about that. And then this morning, as soon as I like started reading, because all the materials for that month go live on the Monday, first Monday of the month, so that was today. So I started reading just like the leader of the program's like little summary about expectations month, and like all of a sudden I was just flooded with like so many ways that I feel kind of not necessarily hemmed in, but that I have these expectations mostly of myself, but also like I feel like coming from others because I've like established certain norms, and those expectations are like not at all necessarily how I want to necessarily be living or showing up. So I'm not gonna read most of these, because like they're not that interesting, and they kind of get into, I mean, they might not be that interesting to you all, and they kind of get into like a lot of the themes that I've already talked about with myself. So, for example, well, okay, I guess I will. I'll get into some of them. I expect perfection from myself. I expect I won't make mistakes, and I'm fearful of doing so. I expect I'm smart and analytical, but not creative. I expect myself to be perfectly good and moral, and feel fear that I'm not. We just talked about that. I expect that I won't know how to handle situations when people are unkind to me. I don't know how to walk the line between escalation and just like surrendering. I don't know like how to modulate my response accordingly. I don't know if you guys do. I feel like that's really hard. Because I think, sorry, this is like another tangent, but basically I think that if somebody is unkind to you, like, and you're not gonna like punch them in the face, which obviously I'm not gonna do, what's the optimal way to respond? Like, for example, with this doctor today that was like not very, again, just didn't have the best bedside manner. Like, I just basically maintained my cool and was just like professional and normal, pretty much. I mean, is it good to like call somebody out? Is it good to, like, how do you kind of navigate those situations in a skillful way? Because you don't want to escalate a situation, or you don't want to call someone out for like no reason and just like have an unnecessary confrontation with them. But you also need to be able to defend yourself. And I'm not quite sure how to do that. So that is another thought. Another, I don't know, yeah, just kind of unrelated thought. But you know, and I'm like, I feel like people expect I'll be accommodating and extra nice, and I don't necessarily need to be that way, blah, blah, blah. So those are some of like the ones that I said that I don't particularly feel a need to focus on. But one thing that I just wanted to put out there, is okay. I feel like I expect of myself, and now because I do it all the time, others expect of me that I'll act like a girl rather than like a woman, even though I'm now 34, gonna be 35 in April. I act kind of cute and like nicey nice and like, I don't know, a little shy. I just have this like girly way of being, which isn't necessarily bad. But I think there's this other part of me that's like super confident, has like an edge, has, you know, uses like dry humor, and just has this like fierce, skeptical, like badass energy. And that is a part of me, like that is in there. And I don't know exactly how to bring that part out or how much I want to bring that part out and kind of shift the way that I present myself. And I also think that kind of change needs to come from within. Like you can't just like put on like that persona when you're with people. You really have to feel in your being that you're that person. And I don't know if I want that because I feel like my, you know, cute, accommodating, nicey nice, friendly persona like works really well for me too. I feel like I connect really well with people, and I, yeah, it just like works for me. Like, I form good friendships. I'm non-threatening, which I think is good because I think that's how you make good friendships work. So I'm hesitant to change it, but I also like this other part of me that's kind of like, I don't give a fuck what you think. Like, I don't know, just not like a mean person in any way, but just like not this like nicey nice kind of accommodating girly vibe. I don't know. So I just kind of want to maybe play with that in my interactions with people. So if I'm coming across a little weird to you, that might be why. I might be experimenting with this new persona. And the other part of that, so there's that, and then there's also this like corollary, which is I feel like I expect of myself and others probably expect of me also that I'm going to be like this very scrupulous, like careful, kind of rational, brainy person. As opposed to this like feminine, wild, adventurous, like sexual person. I don't know, and I have that kind of wild energy to my to me also, and that's also something that like isn't very much expressed. And I think both of those things, both like that like skeptical badass energy and that like wild adventurous energy are parts of myself that like we're kind of all taught in America, I think. I don't think this is a Russian thing. To be kind of good girls, you know, to follow the rules, to be nice to everybody. And again, I'm not saying being mean to everybody is good, but like not worrying so much about being nice just like all the time. And I just feel like, yeah, I don't know that that good girl persona is really all of me. They're just, it's part of me. That like nice, like empathetic, caring person is part of me, and I like that person and I care about being that person. But I also have these other sides to me that I just want to allow them out more and allow them to develop more. That also brings me to another thing I forgot to say about the whole like being a good person thing.
I don't think that everyone's goal in life needs to be being the best person they can be. I think like it's important for me at least to be, you know, to care generally about other people and be decent and be moral. But I don't feel like I need to be as, I feel like that's like a baseline standard that I want to meet. And like I said, I do think like it's just very beneficial for us as humans, even just for our own sake, to do things for other people. So I do think that's important for me. But like, I don't feel like I have to like make the universe a better place or like relieve human suffering in some way, or like I don't feel like that has to be like my end goal. And I think that's some people do feel like that. And it's just interesting to acknowledge that like for me being like a compassionate, caring person is important, but it's not like one of my main goals. That's just kind of like another thing that is important. I don't know, and I think that's partially what I was saying on that Enneagram survey, where I was like, you know, how important is it to you to make other people feel comfortable and all that? It's like, yes, it's important, but it's not my like end all be all. Like more of my desires and goals are more selfish, and maybe that stands in the way of leading a fulfilling life, because I do think that when you help other people, you gain valuable, you kind of put down your own burdens for a minute and pick up somebody else's. And that gives you some perspective and kind of grounds you. And I think that's really healthy. And then when you think of the world as more than just your own needs and desires, I think again, it's like gives you perspective and it's healthy and gives you something outside of yourself to kind of value and care about. So I don't know. I don't know how much I want to maybe, even just for my own sake, incorporate this kind of care for others as one of my like foundational goals and values. But anyways, that's like that's kind of going back to the being a good person thing. Yeah, but this idea of being kind of someone other than this kind of nicey nice, like unassuming person, and instead being kind of either this like really confident, fierce, skeptical person, or like a wild and adventurous person, is, yeah, it's really interesting to me and just something that I want to explore more as another way of being. So we're almost at the hour mark. Apparently, if I want to go over an hour, I'm going to have to restart the clock. I was just looking at what the Anchor app was telling me. I don't know, some other things that I might. Well, okay, now I'm just getting nervous because it's telling me that in a minute and 46 seconds, my recording time will be up. So I'm gonna stop for now, but I think I will add a little bit more before I end the episode. I'll just add another recording. Okay, talk to you in a bit. Hi again. Yeah, just wanted to finish up the episode with just like a couple of additional points. So first of all, one other thing I wanted to say about the difference between the way I am kind of internally and the way I am externally, is I think that I'm very, like on the outside, I'm very flexible and accommodating. And I am like genuinely flexible and accommodating about a lot of things. And maybe I don't show all the ways in which I'm rigid. And so like me constantly talking about like my rigidity may be surprising to you, or maybe it isn't. Maybe you do think that I'm rigid. But that's another thing where I think, like, for example, people who have worked with me,
like my colleagues from my last job, they would know that, like, if like we don't follow the process for like going through contracts, or like if we don't like, cross every T or dot every I get really like I'm really not comfortable with that. And not from like a, I'm not talking about that from like a legal ethics perspective. I'm talking about it from like a just purely like following our process for its own sake perspective. Like if we want to be flexible around a certain situation, or we need to like prioritize some things and deprioritize others. Like I have a lot of difficulty with stuff like that because of this like rigidity that I sometimes have. So I think it comes out in like work contexts, and it comes out when I totally let my guard down, like with my family. Like they would definitely tell you I'm really rigid about certain things. But yeah, it doesn't really come out in most of my day-to-day interactions, in part because there's a lot of things that I'm not rigid about. But let me read you this. Okay, I'm just reading through this. These are symptoms of obsessive compulsive personality disorder, which is different than OCD. OCD is like you have these like intrusive and unwanted like obsessive thoughts or compulsive behaviors that you don't want to do but you feel compelled to do, or you ruminate over certain obsessive thoughts that you don't want to have. So you'll like wash your hands a million times because you feel compelled to. You can't not do it, but not because you're like, this is very important and correct. But people who have OCPD, obsessive compulsive personality disorder, they are very rigid, and they believe that they're doing the right thing. They're rigid because they think it's right to be that way, and they can be very difficult to deal with. And I'm not saying I have this, but there are some of the descriptions of this disorder, I feel like match some of my behaviors to some degree. Like, okay, perfectionism to the point that it impairs the ability to finish tasks. A fixation with lists. That's me. An overwhelming need for order. A sense of righteousness about the way things should be done. A rigid adherence to moral and ethical codes. An inability to share or delegate work because of a fear it won't be done right. Those are what I mean when I talk about being rigid. And I think in like particular, like I used to feel indignant a lot of times, like this should be this way. Why isn't it happening this way? Or like, why are people doing this way? And I think that's something that I've worked on a lot, and I generally think like a lot of those traits, a lot of those OCPD traits, are things that I've gotten a lot better on through working on myself. And this is why I believe that therapy works, because I think, yeah, I've just learned a lot of ways to like be more open, to like change and to be more accommodating. In real ways to other people, and like recognize that, hey, I feel like this needs to happen this way, but it doesn't actually need to happen this way. Or I feel like I can't like make a mistake, or like, not read every email in my inbox, but actually I can skip emails in my inbox. So I definitely made progress there. And I think that's also part of where I feel like I've grown as a person. The other few things I wanted to say, I know this is getting really long. This is going to be my longest episode ever. Yeah, and actually, and I think it's okay for me to share this, that, when Paul and I were talking pre-interview, and we kind of talked a little bit about, where we were at in our relationship when we were dating, which again was like 15 years ago. And he was saying that I had like very rigid ideas about who he should be as a person and what a relationship should look like. And like, I got angry when things didn't like rigidly adhere to that. And I think that's very accurate. And yeah, another place where I hope I've grown to some degree. I don't know. People are complicated. I say like, I don't want to say I'm a better person now because I like empathize with younger Dina and she had a lot of good qualities too. But I think she made a lot of mistakes because she wasn't aware of her own like wants and desires. And I think it wasn't just in the Paul relationship. It was in a lot of other cases too, where there was a disconnect between what I did and what I really wanted for myself. And that caused me unnecessary pain and it caused the other people involved unnecessary pain and was just like bad all around. So I'm trying to be more skillful in listening to my own needs, which I find really difficult. Like they're very quiet sometimes. It's hard to figure out for me what I want. And as many of you know, I'm very indecisive as a result of that, but I'm trying really hard to really listen to what I want and listen to that voice inside me and be really mindful of it because that's the only way, I think, to make choices that are, I don't know, that are healthy and that don't hurt you and don't hurt people that you care about. Yeah, just kind of being honest with yourself about that. And I think for me, one of the difficulties is that I don't know if I can trust my inner voice because sometimes what it tells me is like more based on fear and more based on like, oh, I can't get involved with this person. What if it doesn't work out? Like, who knows what will happen? And then I feel like, oh, it's never going to work. And so it seems to me that the voice in my head is saying, don't do it. But like, that's really not my like wise, intuitive self talking. That's like some unwise part of myself talking. So it's really hard for me to differentiate like some kind of true, intuitive, like what I actually want kind of voice coming in from inside of me. And like what is just kind of like fear and need to control and like, you know, these other aspects. So that's a lot of what I'm working on in therapy is untangling those things and really learning how to see the difference between things that between what I want and what I'm just like imposing on myself because I'm fearful of losing control or I'm fearful of like letting another person in or, you know, just these other things that are, and I have so much indecision because I can never, I don't trust myself. I don't know which is which. And that's because it's really hard for me to tell the two apart. But I think I'm getting better at it. And yeah, that's a big thing that I'm working on. And I think that will hopefully help me and it will help other people I interact with because it's better to interact with somebody that knows what they want. And you can then decide if you want that too or not, as opposed to dealing with somebody who's really indecisive. Again, as many of you who know me well know, that is a definite quality of mine, indecision, perhaps even a defining quality. But yeah, so working through that. Trying to think if there's anything else. I'm just looking through my list of things that I wanted to talk about. Another thing I wanted to talk about was like the way that I developed, I don't know, the way some of my skepticism and like looking at the world askance and just that kind of vibe that I have developed over the years. But I think I will leave that for another episode. I'm going to write that down. Hold on. Everybody wait while I write this down. Skeptical vibe. Developing. Yeah, so I think I'm going to talk a little bit about that process during my childhood and just a little bit more about my life as a kiddo generally. But that will be for next time or whenever I feel like talking about it. Stay tuned for that. It was so nice spending the evening with you guys. Hope you enjoyed the episode. Let me know either way. And I will talk to you guys soon. All right, bye.